Random House Audio presents To Tame a Land by Louis L'Amour. Read for you by Jason Culp. Chapter 1. It was Indian country, and when our wheel busted, none of them would stop. They just rolled on by and left us setting there, my pap and me. Me, I was pushing a tall 12 by then and could cuss most as good as Pap, and we both done some cussing then. Bagley, the one Pap helped down to Ash Hollow that time, he got mighty red around the ears, but he kept his wagon rolling. Most folks those days were mighty helpful, but this outfit sorta set their way by the captain. He was Big Jack McGarry. When the wheel busted, somebody called out and we swung back. Big Jack had no liking for Pap, because Pap never took nothing off him, and because Pap had the first look in with Mary Tatum, which Big Jack couldn't abide. He swung that fine black horse of his back, and he sat there looking at us. We had turned to and were getting that wheel off, fixing to get it repaired if we could.
"Sorry, Tyler. You know what I said. This is Indian country. Going through here, we keep rolling no matter what. We'll wait a spell at the springs, though. You can catch us there."
Then he turned his horse and rode off, and nobody else in the wagon said by word or look that they even seen us setting there. Pap, he didn't waste no more time. He looked after them, his face kind of drawn down and gray-like, and then he turned to me and he said,
"Son, I don't mind for myself. It's you I'm thinking of. But maybe it'll be all right. You take that there gun and you set up high and watch sharp."
So that was the way it was, and Papa working to fix that wheel so we could go on. He was a good man at such things, and he had built many a wagon in his day and had done some fine cabinet work, too. He worked steady, and I kept my eyes open, but there was mighty little to see. It was a long, rolling grass plain wherever a body looked. Here and there was draws, but I couldn't see into them. The wind stirred that tall grass, bending it over in long rolls, the way the sea must look, and it was green-gray and then silver in the changing light and wind. Overhead, the sky was wide and pale blue, with just a few lazy clouds a-drifting. We had us a good Conestoga wagon and 6 head of cattle, good big oxen, to haul it. We had 2 horses and 2 saddles, and inside the wagon was Pap's tools, our grub, bedding, and a few odds and ends like Ma's picture, which Pap kept by him no matter what. Pap had swapped for a couple of Jocelyn breech-loading carbines before we left Kansas, and we each had us a handgun, Schalk and McClanahan 6-shooters, caliber 36, and good guns, too. Like McGarry said, this was Indian country. Not 2 weeks ago, the Indians had hit a wagon train, smaller than ours, killing 4 men and a woman. They hit it again a few miles west, and they killed 2 more men. Ours was a big train, well-armed and all, but Big Jack, I seen the look in his eyes when he sat there watching Papa working. He was just figuring to himself that he wouldn't have to worry any more about Pap, and by the time the wagons got to California, he'd be married up with Mary Tatum. Her and all that silver her old man carried in the big box under his wagon. When it was almost dark, Pap called to me.
"Son, come on down. You ride your horse. Scout around a little. If the wagons get to stop at the springs, we'll catch 'em."
But cattle don't make no speed with a heavy wagon. Their feet spread wide on turf, and they pull better, day in, day out, than any mule or horse, but they can't be called fast. Night came, and we set a course by the stars, and we rolled on west all through the night. When the first gray light was in the sky, we saw the gleam on the water, least I saw it. Pap, he was still too far back. I seen the water where the pool was, and the cottonwood leaves, but no white wagon covers, no horses, and no breakfast fires a-cooking. When the wagon came up, I saw Pap looking and looking like he couldn't believe it, and I seen his Adam's apple swallow, and I said, "Pap, they've gone on. They left us." Yes, he said. I reckon that's so. We both knew we had to stop. Cattle can stand so much, and these had a tough night and day behind them.
We'll water up, son, Pap said. Then we'll pull into a draw and rest a while.
So that was how it was, only when we got to the springs, we saw the wagons had not stopped there. Big Jack McGarry had taken no chances. He pulled them right on by, and nobody to know he'd promised to wait for us there.
Nobody but him and us.
We watered up, and then we pulled out. Maybe 3 miles farther on, we found a draw with some brush, and we pulled into it for a rest. Pap unyoked the oxen and let them eat buffalo grass. He'd taken his Jocelyn up on the ridge and bellied down in the grass. Me, I went to sleep under the wagon, and maybe I'd been asleep an hour when I felt someone nudge me, and it was Pap.
Here they come, boy. You get on your horse and take out.
He was down on one knee near me.
Maybe if you hold to low ground, you can make it safe.
I ain't a-goin' without you.
Son, you go now. One can make it, two can't. You take old Blue, he's the fastest.
You come with me.
No, this here is all we got, boy. I'll stay by it. Maybe they'll take what sugar we got and go.
I'll stay too.
No!
Pap rarely spoke hard to me after Ma died, but he spoke sharp and stern now, and it wasn't in me to dispute him. So I loosed the reins and swung into the saddle. Pap passed me up a sack full of cartridges and such, then caught my arm. There were tears in his eyes.
Luck, boy, luck. Remember your Ma.
Then he slapped old Blue on the rump, and old Blue went off up the draw. Me, I was in no mind to leave him, so when we rounded a little bend, I put Blue up the bank and circled back. I heard a rifle shot and saw dust kick near the wagon, then a whole volley of shots. Along with the rest, I heard the sharp, hard sound of Pap's Jocelyn carbine. Tying Blue among some brush in a low place, I grabbed my Jocelyn and went back, keeping low down. Maybe a dozen Indians were out there, and Pap's one shot had counted, for I saw a free horse running off. As I looked, the Indians began to circle, and Pap fired again. An Indian grabbed at his horse's mane and almost slipped off. The sun was out, and it was hot. I could smell the hot, dusty grass and feel the sun on my back, and my hands were sweaty, but I waited. Boy though I was, and Pap no Indian fighter, I knew what I had to do. Night after night I'd sat by the fire and heard talk of Indian fights and such like from the mountain men we met, and a couple of others who had been over this trail before us. I soaked it up, and I knew there was a time for waiting and a time for shooting. Pap was doing right good. He downed a horse, and the Indians pulled off and away. I lay quiet, having a good view of the whole shindig, me being no more than 150 yards off. Sudden-like, I saw the grass move. They were crawling up now. Did Pap see them? No, he couldn't see them from where he lay, but he had guessed that was what they would do, for I saw him worm out from behind the wheel where he'd been shooting and ease off into some rocks not far from the wagon. They were coming on, and right soon I could see 4 of the Indians. Pap waited. I give him that. He was no Indian fighter, just a good wheelwright and cabinet maker, but he was smart. Suddenly, he came up with his carbine and fired quick. I saw an Indian jerk back with a busted shoulder. Then 2 of them ran forward. Pap fired and missed, and fired again and hit. And then I heard a whisper in the grass and saw 4 Indians walking their horses careful behind him. Behind him and right below me. They weren't 30 yards off from me at point-blank range. This here was what I'd waited for. My mouth so dry I couldn't spit or swallow, I ups with my Jocelyn. I took steady aim the way I'd been taught, drew a deep breath, and let it out easy, and then I squeezed her off. The rifle jumped in my hands, and that first Indian let out a grunt and went off his horse and into the grass.
I'd
Sample complete. Ready to continue?